Good morning again, everyone. Very warm welcome to Rockingham Road Baptist Church this morning. It's lovely to see you all. I think most of us are all regulars, apart from my friend Adrian, who's the second in the Nick Cook and Friends series, summer series. Adrian's another friend of mine from Mark Arbor Baptist Church. He joined when I was minister there and very rapidly grew in his faith. I was involved in the music, a real talent for youth, and he ran our youth club for many years and then went off and trained to be a youth pastor. He's not doing that at the moment, but he has a story to tell. I don't know how much you're going to tell today, but he has a story to tell, and we've walked many a path together, him and I. And special welcome to Caroline and their son Adam. It's lovely to see you here as well today.
So good morning. I'm Adie. I'm, as Nick has said, I'm a friend of Nick, but also I'm a youth pastor as well as currently. I run a golf club, so I'm a clubhouse manager as well. But I've come here today to give you some words. So our call to worship today is, God calls us to grow in faith and love. Growing often brings storms, expected and unexpected. We can be fearful that we can't cope. We may find it difficult to hear God's gentle voice. We call out in our distress, Lord, save me. But God is always with us. Let us worship the Lord. We're going to sing now. Come now is the time to worship. Please be seated. Let us pray. Pray that we can come just as we are to worship you. Pray that you have brought us here today to listen to your word, also listen to our conversations, and also have our hearts as we come along. Our Almighty God, you are found in the middle of our storms. Calm and reassuring, the wind and waves do not overcome you. You are the voice that bids us step forth in faith, and the hand outstretched to save when we falter. We adore you for all that you are, our shelter, our safe haven, our anchor, and our safe place. In your name, amen. We have a couple of one new song, I believe, that Nick is going to come and guide us through.
This is a song. Before I came to Rocky Road, some of you know I went to Wetstone Baptist and discovered that my musical knowledge of Christian music was several years out of date. But this is one of the ones that I picked up there, and you'll see from the chorus just how important this became to me during what was a very difficult time in my life. So what we're going to do, Ada's going to play it because he's a much better guitarist than I am, and I'm going to sing it and conduct it. It goes like this.
Go on.
You start and I'll get the note from it. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. First one. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Verse 2. And I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on, a glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you're here on this earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on, and there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on, and there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. You should know this now, sing it with all your heart. Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every never let go of me. Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
And our next song, going on a little slight different pace of that, is Lord, I Come Before Your Throne of Grace. Seated.
The readings from 1 Kings chapter 19 verses 9 to 18. Famous passage of Elijah in the desert, having just defeated the prophets of Baal, massive miracle on Mount Carmel, and now Jezebel's after him, and Elijah's emotions have taken a turn for the worse. And God calls him to Mount Horeb, and there he meets with Elijah. Then Elijah went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel, Mehelo, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all those whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and whose mouths have not kissed him."
Thank you very much. I'm just going to sing one more song before our second reading, which is going to be "Faithful One, So Unchanging." It's Mission Praise 825, if you're going by the book. So our second reading this morning comes from Psalm 85, verses 8 to 13. Ta-da! "I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from the heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. If you've not guessed, what today's sermon is about facing the storms of life. I just want to ask a simple question, first of all, which is, who's had a busy week this week? I know I have. So if Nick's been telling some people about the last week that I've had, I've just driven down yesterday from the Lake District, where I've been helping with Christian Bench Holidays, where I'm a kayak instructor, I'm also lead worshipper, and also leading a leader small group. So yesterday I drove down all the way from just outside Keswick, so Bassenthwaite, all the way down to Market Harbour. And then I'm here today, and preaching this morning, and then this afternoon, or this evening, I'm also leading worship at St. Dionysius. So this week has been a really big, busy week. I took a holiday for this. I think I might need another holiday later on. But my last week has been so busy that I would start at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I wouldn't finish till 10:30 at night. So our day would start off with a leaders' briefing meeting, and then end with praise, worship, and hot chocolate, which was great. But as it is, you know, we've got storms of life. And this week in the Lake District, we've had glorious weather. I've actually caught a suntan. Don't know how. I think it's more windburn. But storms of life go through different phases. I mean, I'm going to share some of my testimony today, but also link it back to the passages, especially in 1 Kings, where Elijah is listening for God. And it's so prominent about when Nick said to me, oh, you know, you've preached at another church. Can you come and preach here? And I said, yeah, of course I can. Didn't know what necessarily I was going to say, but I read the passages and went, okay. Now I know what I'm going to say. And to be honest, what I've got written down here, I'm pretty much going to ignore, which is no surprise to Nick. But as we see within the passage, we see Elijah goes and hides away. And I did that for a fair few years, actually. So I used to go to a church, a Methodist church, from pretty much when I was in the Boys Brigade. And literally, I would just go because my parents sent me. And then up to 11, I carried on going. And then at 11 years old, after being bullied both at school and also at the church, I turned around and went, nah, not having this anymore. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to go hide away. So I hid away from church and said, I'm never going to go back. I'm not going to go and step my foot in a church ever again. But here I am. My training and stuff like that is for youth ministry, youth pastor, and I did youth ministry over in Coventry for 2 years. But before that, I was at Mike Harbour Baptist Church leading the youth. And before that, I was leading youth in Corn, which is over in Loughborough. So for God to turn around eventually and say, nah, I want you, was really an interesting one. We see in this passage, though, that Elijah turns around and is gone ahead away. He stands at the mount, the opening of the cave, and he stands there and is expecting God to do this massive miracle and this massive big voice to him and say, right, this is what I want you to go and do. But it doesn't happen. Even when we've had earthquakes, you know, God isn't in that earthquake. Even when we've had the winds and stuff like that, if you'd have seen the winds this week, we were in 25-mile-an-hour winds on Friday. I had 6-7 campers plus 3 leaders. And we were meant to go to the top of the lake. We ended up at the bottom of the lake, and we stayed there. But again, God's not in that. He wasn't in there. He was with us, but we couldn't hear him. And as the passage turns around and says, he was in that small whisper. And that small whisper is something that I cherish a lot. So I'm going to give a little bit of my testimony, not the full testimony. We could be here till 2, 3, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever. But as I said, I left church when I was 11. I turned around and said, I'm never going to go back. But within that time, I had many, many situations. So I had an eating disorder. I also had depression, I had anxiety, I had stress. And all these things were just slowly piling up. And this was due to breakdowns of relationships, things that were just going on in my life, being bullied. And I hadn't really given up my bullying in the sense of that me being bullied really like put a whole box on top of me and just weighed me down so much. But then I went through a really, really dark phase where just things were so bad. So my depression got to a point where I just couldn't cope anymore. And with that, you know, I decided to try and get keep myself busy first of all. But then I couldn't cope. So I went off to a place where I knew, and I decided that I was going to get rid of myself. So basically try and commit suicide by jumping. So I stood there on this rock. And I thought, right, this is it. And literally stood there. And I had a friend who had been with me doing murder mystery parties and all sorts of stuff with me. She came and she rang me whilst I was stood on this rock. And she turned around and said, oh, I just needed to have a chat with you, you know. Just wondering where you are, what you want. So I says, oh, yeah, I'll come up and see you. So I literally stood away from the rock and went and see my friend. Before this, though, my other friends were all Christians. I wasn't a Christian. So she'd seen something in me that was different compared to everyone else. And then a little bit of time went past, and she invited me to a Baptist church where she was doing a Hands Up for God puppet team thing. And I said, yeah, okay, I'll come along one time. I think, yeah, right, that's fine. So then I decided, right, that's it. You know, I'll go along to that. Everything should be hunky-dory, fine. But again, you know, life got really busy. I ignored most of it. And not long before the actual Hands Up for God puppet team thing, I was stood there again at this rock, ready to take my own life. And I stood there and I went, right, this is it, I'm going to do it. I'd left a note at home, and I stood there. And again, I'm like, right, that's fine. And I had just split up from a relationship, which was an on and off relationship for about 7 years. And again, this time, she rang me. So my ex had rang me and said, oh, you know, I need to come and chat to you. Again, I stood away from the edge, went and chatted to them. Again, another failure. In my eyes at that time. But I stood there, and I walked and had a chat with my friend, well, my ex-girlfriend at the time, and then, you know, things came along. So then I rang my friend Haley, who was the first person who rang me, and I said to her, I need to come in and have a chat. My eating disorder is really bad. She started helping me even more by bringing me to more murder mystery parties, inviting me to different things, so I was around people all the time. But again, So I went to the Hands Up for God puppet team with Hayley. She was at the front doing all of her stuff, and I sat there in the congregation with my friend Dan, and I was sat there going, yep, I've come here just because I want to. You know, I want to support my friend. And I had no reason to go, just to support my friend of her doing that. And I sat there in the pews, so we had pews in that church, no chairs, no comfy chairs. And I sat there, and I went, okay, this is nice. But God turned round at a really prominent point. So there'd been all this busyness about the puppets at the front, and there was a silent bit. And God, and there was one phrase that turned around and said, anybody who wants to give their life to God right now, put your hand up. And I'm sat there going, right, okay. And all of a sudden, God turned around and just pretty much whacked me around the face. You know, right around the back of the head. And I stood there and went, I sat there and went, oh, okay. Better put my hand up now. But he turned around at that point and said, I want you. But even at that point, I was like, you know, it's not quite where I want to be. So we left the service. I went and spoke to Haley. So, you know, I feel as though God's given me a bit of a whack around the head. But again, I ended up in that place. I ended up in that darkest place again for a third time. And I stood there on the rock, crying my eyes out. Hadn't taken my phone with me this time because it had, every single time I'd had a phone call. So I left that at home. And I stood there, literally on the edge of this rock. And there was three churches. There was a Baptist church down in one part. There was a evangelical church, and I don't remember what the other church was. But I remember the last church I looked at was the Baptist church. And I stood there on the edge going, right, going to do it. And I was about to step off. So I turned literally back to the rock, about to step off, and literally there was somebody stood there, right in front of me. And I'm like, okay. My first question was, who are you? He said, you don't need to know who I am, but I know you. And within about 30, 40 seconds, he turned round and got me to step away, sat down with me for about 2-3 hours, calmed me down, asked me, what are you doing? Like Elijah in this, why are you here? And I sat there, and he turned around and said, well, you know, I know you're going through this tough time at the moment, but I see that there's loads of things that you are looking forward to, you know. And sat there and calmed me down. And I can't remember half the conversation. But I know that it was really significant to me because he made me feel calm. He didn't shout at me and shouted, get off that rock, rah, rah. He turned around and just said, you know, basically, what are you doing here? You don't need to know who I am. And then he walked me down to the green in Mount Sorrel, where it was, and got me on a bus. I had no money. And the bus driver, well, I got on and he told me, so I'll go sit at the back. So I went and sat at the back. And the doors closed of the bus, and the bus went off, took me home. I got in home, took the note off that I'd left for my parents at the time. And I burnt the note. But when the bus was about to leave, when I went to look for him to say thank you, he'd gone. So I went to the bus driver and said, well, I've not paid. He says, it's all right, it's all sorted. It's all sorted for you. I don't need you to, like, don't you just go sit down. You don't need me to see, you don't need to give me any money. But since then, I've been travelling quite a bit. So I went from Mount Sorrel to Market Harbour, where I met, well, I decided to go around numerous churches, but the first church I went to was where Nick was the pastor. And I sat there and introduced myself. And he's like, and Nick turned around to me and said, go and see the other churches. And I did. And I went to a couple of churches. There was one I stayed there for about 3, 4, 5 weeks. But none of them felt really like home. So I ended up coming back to the church where Nick was, so the Baptist church in Market Harbour. And literally, I was sat there, and it felt like home. I had been baptised in Quorn before then, and what an experience that was. Again, another whole thing about spontaneity. There were 6 of us getting baptised. The pastor at the time said, does anybody want to get baptised? He went, no. There was silence. And then we'd sing a song, we'd all got changed in a nice dry kit. And then all of a sudden, at the end of one of the songs, there was a little voice that turned around and said, can I get baptised, please? It was one of my friends at the time, and she got baptised. The pastor at the time went, yeah, of course you can. She had no spare clothes. He had to get back changed into some really, really wet clothes. But we found some clothes for her, and she went and got baptised at the time. And what an experience that was. But when I came back to Market Harbour, I literally felt like home. I ended up leading the worship group. No, not the worship group, the youth group. But I did do some worship. Brought some new songs to Nick, which was really interesting, especially with his... It's fine. Like the song this morning. I could have brought some really interesting songs, but I left that to Nick today. But literally, going to my journey through from there to now, I was like, leading the youth group, and Nick turned around to me at the time, and Sharon, I'm not sure if Sharon's been here yet. She's coming in a month's time. So you'll meet Sharon. I call Nick my church dad. And Sharon, who you'll meet, is like my church mum. And they could see there, sitting there going, he's meant for bigger things. And I'm like, not really. I'm sat there running the youth and stuff like that. And I sat there and went through prayer ministry because I was going through a really tough time. I decided to do a 3-day fast. But me having had an eating disorder, that was so difficult for me. But I got through it. Day one, I was like, yeah, I feel really energized. Day two, a little bit lethargic. Day three, I'd got my energy back. But Nick came along and prayed for me during those days, except for the last day when... No, you turned around to me at the time and said, this is a prayer between you and God. You need to know where your next steps are. What he wants you to do. And I was thinking about, should I go into ministry? Should I go off to university? I was 34, 35 at the time. And I'm like, I'm nothing special. I'd done A-levels, I'd failed those. I'd failed my English. I'm dyslexic. I only found that out when I went to university. But I'd muddled through life and muddled through my GCSEs and stuff. But it was the next step for me to go on to, where am I meant to be? Like Elijah had been told, right, this is what I wanted to go and do. And again, I've been repeated several times about going off and being that voice for God for young people. And it was one service I went to Nick and Sharon and said, I know that I'm now being called to ministry, so youth ministry in particular. And they turned around and went, at last, you've eventually listened. And it wasn't this magnificent thing of, this huge thing that happened of big bangs or anything like that. It was that little quiet voice that sat there and went, you know what you need to go and do? You need to speak to Nick, you need to speak to Sharon. And tell them that you want to go and do youth ministry or ministry. So I went off to university and muddled through my degree, but actually didn't muddle. I smashed my degree, really. So I was predicting that I'd get a third or a 2-2, and there's Nick grinning in the corner going, nah, 2-2, not for you. I eventually got a 2-1 in my degree, and I found out not long after that I was only like 3 or 4% off a first. So God had been really faithful through that. He'd, first of all, give me the support of Nick and Sharon, but also gave me a fantastic dyslexia tutor. She'd known nothing about me. She wasn't a Christian at the time. But through working with me, she became a Christian. And also... And from what I've messaged her, she's now doing the same course that I was doing. So, a massive influence on somebody else. So I'm passing my experience onto them. I'm also a tutor for the university as well, where I tutor somebody. But going back to storms can come at any point of your life, whether it be your daily work. So my daily work, as I say, is I'm a front of house manager, but also a clubhouse manager of a golf course. And I have many storms. I have customers or people coming to me shouting at me, what have you done? Why is this going wrong? Rah, rah, rah. But I also had it whilst I was doing youth ministry in Coventry. My storm there was that I was being bullied at the time. I was being bullied by one of the other ministers. It wasn't like like calling me names or anything. It was the whole point of he would shout at me for, I would put something forward, he would shout at me, or he would make me feel a lot less than where I was. But then the other person who was doing exactly the same job, she would put the stuff in. She hadn't got the experience. She hadn't got the full plan. And hers would go through. My line manager at the time was in a meeting, and he belittled me, not my manager, but the minister at the time, belittled me within a whole meeting. And that's where it all started, of where I am now. I've taken a break from ministry at the moment. I've taken a break from ministry so that I can get my head in the right place. But it doesn't mean that I've left God. God's turned around and said, you need to take a break. From October last year to February this year, I'd not really gone into a lot of churches to do preaching or anything like that. But I'd sat there and in the churches and going, right, I just need to do, just need to be. And then, as I said, tonight I'm leading at St. Dionysius, so I'm leading worship at St. Dionysius. And one of my friends, Kevin, he turned around to me and said, just how are things going, all sorts of that. I want you to come and help me assist with leading worship. And I'm now doing that. I went to a church in Coventry, another Baptist church in Coventry. I can't remember the name of Sharon's church. Meredith Road Baptist Church, and I went and did a talk there. And again, God was really faithful. He gave me the words to say. Now I'm looking at another job, so I'm currently in my job, but I'm now applying for other jobs, back into ministry, because that's where God is calling me. He's said, right, you've had your rest. I've gone into that cave. You've now come out. You've now listened to my whisper after so many things that have gone wrong with the previous job. I'm now deciding to listen again. I do get a few whacks around the head. My experience of Christian Venture Holidays is I've usually gone at least once a week to the hospital on multiple occasions. This year, I did go to the hospital, but not for me this time. I took one of my leaders who broke their elbow. So, she was so grateful for me taking her, but also the other leader said, your way around those hospitals, you take her. And speaking to her, she's got eight or nine foster children. And each of those, through her, has come along to Christian Venture Holidays at some point or is currently going. But I want to go back to this passage. Whatever's going through your life at the moment, it may be just this small moment. It may have been lasting a very long time. But it will end. God will turn around at some point and say, enough's enough. Now is the time for you to just be. Just come with me. Go do what I've called you to go and do. And then if we look at the psalm is an amazing psalm. I hadn't really read it fully. But the first words are, I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. My journey has been over from about the age of 8. I'm now 40. My journey's not stopped. I've seen on your board today, where it turns around and says, don't ask God to guide footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet forward. And I think that was one thing I seen this morning and went, you're right, I need to now move for my feet. And I want you to move your feet as well, to go do what God is asking you to do. But remember to listen for that little whisper. It might not be this transformation that you're expecting. And I've had young people this week turn around and gone, I don't know if I'm a Christian. I don't know what I'm meant to be doing. Well, I said, well, just listen. And they sat down and went, well, how do I listen? He says, just be silent. God will speak to you when he thinks you're listening, or when he knows you're listening. And that's what I've gone and done, is I've gone and been a preacher, been a minister, still a pastor. But I also still preach within my job. But I want us to leave here today knowing that God is always there. He will catch us. You might not hear him all the time, but he is that safety net. He is that safe space. He is that safe haven. He is that place where you think, it's all right, don't worry, carry on. We're in that safe space, and we need to make sure that we realize that at the time. But if we fall, it's okay. God will bring us along and catch us. There's another story in the Bible which turns around about Jesus on the sea, well, with his disciples, and he's asleep in the boat. And I heard it this week. And it just reminds me that God is all-powerful. The disciples at the time were panicking because they were being blown over it as the Sea of Galilee. They were being blown about. The storm was coming in. And they were panicking. Where was Jesus? Asleep. He knew what was going to happen. He knew if it was going to travel from one side to the other, he knew the storm was going to come in. His disciples woke him up and said, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to be thrown overboard, all sorts of stuff like that, you know, in pure panic. And we've had, again, some experiences this week where a young child on a sailing boat was like, oh, panic. But actually, Jesus turned around and says, don't panic. He controlled the storm. He said, stop, and it stopped. It was only then that they realized how powerful Jesus and God are. And I wanted to take away from here and today that, as I say, no matter what we do, God is always in control. We just need to listen. If he says stop, you stop. If he says go, you go. But we need to think about where we are as well. And the next song, I believe, is a song which hit me massively this week. The Lord's My Shepherd. It's an amazing song. I had a moment this week. It's now been a year since my mum passed away, but these words are phenomenal. I'll not want... 1 minute, there we go. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. And the words as they carry on just are amazing. So please, if you want to come speak to me afterwards or speak to Nick or anyone else, please do. But sing these words. But if you don't want to sing the words, just listen to the words. Because it is one of those that hit me massively. I ended up leading this and I ended up going quiet whilst the rest of the congregation was singing. And it hit me hard. But I'm here today after such a busy week listening to what God has asked me to do. If you look at my notes today, there's a whole ream of them. And some of them I've gone to, a lot of them I've not. But God knows what you needed to hear from that. In your name, amen. So we're going to sing now, The Lord's My Shepherd. So Mission Praise 1008. Stand, sit, sing, whichever you feel.
Oh, So our prayers and intercession for today. Lord God, we come before you to pray for all those people for whom taking risks is a way of life. Lord, reveal yourself to them and keep them safe. We pray for our emergency services, paramedics, the police, the fire service, all who daily face difficult situations, as they seek to help to protect us and make our world a safer place, and a more peaceful place as well. Lord, reveal yourself to them and keep them safe. We pray for people who work in troubled areas, the armed forces in war zones, those who bring humanitarian aid into areas of natural disaster, and many more. Lord, reveal yourself to them and keep them safe. We pray for people who take risks in your name. Lord Jesus, those who take your word where it is most needed, and for people who grapple with faith and doubt, Lord, reveal yourselves to them and keep them safe as well. In your name, amen. As we come to our last song, In Christ Alone, it is that, you know, that he gives us our strength. He is the light, and he is the grounding that we all need right now. So we're going to sing Mission Praise 1072, In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found.
In Christ alone, my hope is found.
know me through and through. You know my hopes, my fears, the things that get me going and those things that make me freeze. Give me courage to put my anxious, fearful thoughts and feelings aside, to listen to you and set my eyes fixed always on you. Amen.